This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Thank you, Pastor, so much. It is a privilege to really share with our home church family and to be able to talk to everybody all at once. I like to talk to everybody individually. This is amazing. My family was one of the families at the Toby Mac concert last night, and he prayed. He took a moment to pray over Valdosta and the surrounding areas, and he prayed over the pastors who were speaking today. So how many people get Toby Mac praying for them before? So it's got to be good. I received that. So I spent a lot of time with the Lord, trying to figure out what to pray, and to speak on today, and thought about money. Yay! Don't get too excited now. It's a good thing, but I thought, Lord, what qualifies me to bring a word on money? And it's really just a primer. A foundation. Anyway, I personally experienced a very comfortable life as a kid. Relatively. Not affluent, but certainly spoiled enough to have all my needs met and enough to complain. No pool, we didn't have a pool. No Jordans. I had several friends that had the Jordans. My parents were like, $100 for sneakers. You know, that's kind of common now. I still don't like $100 for sneakers, but there we are. No, I did not have the 8-bit Nintendo until most of my friends already had it. So I got it like a forever after them. I should have been more appreciative. How about that? I appreciate it now. I wish I had it. Did you notice those little humans before they stampeded out? I was like them. A lot of them, they still complain. Yeah. A lot of us have never grown up. We still complain. We have plenty. We had a nice brick house, all brick, big ranch house, bigger than what we have now. We had several cars, at least a half acre to play in. You know, half of it was fenced. I mean, I had decent clothes, but little did I know an adventure awaited of little Debbie's and gangrene. Some keywords to stick in your head for a minute. So before continuing, just go back to money right now. We'll go into the little Debbie's later. Thanks, Al. Let's remember what money is. Let's just think for a moment. I looked it up. Merriam-Webster, all the other, several other places online. I still like to use books sometimes. It's a medium of exchange in the form of coins, paper currency, and accounts that facilitate economic transactions. It serves as a standard unit to measure and store value, as well as a means of payment accepted for goods, services, and settling debts. While money itself has little to no intrinsic value, it derives its worth from being an agreed-upon representation of value within an economy. Got it? Right, so the short version is it can be like a piece of paper, a dirty little piece of paper. You can burn it, you can wad it up. I mean, it's illegal to tear it up because it technically belongs to the government, but you can do all these things, but you and I agree it's worth something. It could be a Washington, it could be a Benjamin, it could be a Grant. So as followers of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, let's see what he has to say about it. And by the way, we can go ahead and put up the scripture. In a moment, we'll read from Matthew 6. So if you want to go ahead and open Bibles or pull up your app, verses 19 through 33. It's this whole piece. Most Bibles already have a heading. It says teaching about money and possessions. Jesus does speak a lot about money in the scripture. The scriptures speak a lot about money. There are some other specific scriptures and directives concerning money, about like taxes and giving. When I was doing research, I was praying on this. There are people who claim that Jesus spoke about money more than anything else. That's only kind of sort of true, at least from what I was seeing. So when I'm looking through all these scriptures, we have to remember Jesus spoke in parables. And he also, so some of the parables were about money. Some were about farming. Some were about just food, you know, baking. Some were about roadside muggings, the Samaritan. But does that mean that we take all these parables and apply them to agriculture or cuisine or crime? Not necessarily, you know. In other words, they were teaching principles of the kingdom. So we just need to remember that as we read. And something else that really stuck out to me when I was praying, and I almost, well, I'm going to share a little bit about this. Jesus spoke a lot about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, which is, I won't go into it now, but I would just encourage you strongly as you read the scriptures, you feel, as you pray, as you spend time with the Lord, you spend time in the Word, let anytime you see something about the kingdom of God, that if it jumps out at you, like spend time on it, like look into it, ask the Lord about it. I'm still going on it. So this is, I don't have a, just an encouragement. Think about the kingdom of God. So Matthew 6, 19 through 33. It's a little long, but we'll go quickly. I have like 2 hours, right? Red letters. Those of you who don't know, red letters. And if you have a Bible that has red letters, it means Jesus was speaking. So it's kind of a quote. Just a good thing to know. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, but where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. I'm reading from the NLT, New Living. They actually translated be enslaved to money. Jesus continues, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to them than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So let's just look at this for a moment. What do we have here? So the first part, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat, rust destroys, thieves can break in, they can steal, they can hack your accounts, but store up treasures in heaven. You know, Bitcoin's not in heaven. There's no internet connectivity. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So let's just process it a little bit. Treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. Are we talking about money? So since money can't be in heaven, what are we talking about? What is Jesus talking about here? Likely your efforts, what you spend your life on, and what that how that shows in your actions, in your words. So where you spend money, what you love. There's a versus here. You see, there's two things. There's a battle, a struggle. So we can apparently invest in earthly things, temporal things, or we can invest in eternal things. Is it, you know, it's not necessarily wrong to invest in earthly things, but we just need to question, like, what are we, when we spend, when we're doing things, what are we trying to fill here? Does that fill your heart's desire, your heart's longing? Jesus continues, we look at, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. If you're, when your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light, but when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. This one, a little strange to me. It's in the middle of this whole piece about money and possessions. So studied, I prayed. Something that I got was that we need to think about what's filling our eyes. What do we look? What do we gaze upon? What do we desire? You know, there's a lot in the scripture about looking at things and what do we take in? What do we learn from? Who do we learn from? Who do we watch on YouTube or TikTok? Or, you know, what kind of news are we absorbing? So what are we taking in? You know, that could speak a lot to how we process things or what we love. Jesus also continues, no one can serve two masters. You'll hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. Those are strong words. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Again, we have another verses. We have God, we have money. So we can even say, okay, if you can be enslaved to money, can you master money? Can you flip it? Can you control money? Or is money controlling you? And then do you trust God to provide? So if money is your master, Jesus is supposed to be your master. So who provides for you? Who do you look to for your provision? Who do we submit to? Jesus says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear, because isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to them, to him, than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why do you worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, he was rich. He had a ton. Was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So from this piece, we see, okay, so God obviously, we know from the scripture and from our testimonies and from testimonies of believers throughout history, God rarely just drops things from the sky. He rarely drops a bag of money or a new set of clothes. He does drop food, manna from heaven. They still had to go to collect it. They still had to work for it, and they had to do it certain days. But that's kind of the exception. That's not really his MO. That's not his normal method of operation. But what does he do? He does lead us. He directs us. We have power to use tools like money. So he walks us through life. He walks us through hard times. He's with us in good times. He empowers us to obtain wealth. Again, there's so many scriptures. Hopefully a lot of you, I know, study the scriptures, know the Lord, walk with him. So a lot of scriptures probably pop into your head. We're not going to hit them all today. We can't. Again, just a primer, just to get you to start thinking this direction a little bit. But he obviously cares about this. He knows we need them. Jesus just took, like, how many sentences to just talk about clothes? So he cares about our clothes. And he dressed the lilies of the field very nicely and splendidly. So it's not that clothes are bad. or necessarily nice-looking clothes are bad. Just something to think about. So Jesus says, so don't worry about these things. Don't worry. These worries fill our eyes when we're not looking at Jesus. I've felt it. I've felt it keenly many times in life. But when we're not looking at him, and we're not looking at Jesus, this worry, this fretting, this anxiety fills our eyes. It fills our minds. There's a battle in our minds. A lot of what this is talking about, Jesus is hitting our hearts and minds. And God knows your needs. He knows your needs. He calls them needs. It's not like he knows. He just called them needs. But what does he tell us to do? To seek the kingdom of God. Okay, let's process that a little bit further real quick. We talked about, there's been some verses, there's been these two things. And so as I was praying through, I thought, okay, so there's one kingdom. There's a kingdom of God, but first let's talk about the kingdom of, I'll call it the kingdom of self. We tend to invest our time, our energy, our money in the physical treasure of this present world. We have to go to jobs. We have to do some things. God knows. He walks us through. He's already said that. But we attempt to satisfy these longings, these needs, and there are very real needs we have. These longings of our hearts with these earthbound treasures. And we do that sometimes with other people. It's not just stuff, but we spend money. We spend our time and our efforts with people or going places. And obviously with things, with possessions. I don't think I was trying to fulfill too much to go see Toby Mac. Maybe. Needed some entertainment, right? But it was also the rides. I got a high out of that. But what are we doing? We're trying to find life. So to just sustain our bodies, to sustain life here, we need some things, but are we using this? It's good. We do. We try to purchase things. We're looking for that next thrill. We're looking for that next high. Something to make us feel good, but it's delusional. It's ultimately, it's a lie. We do get obsessed. When I'm processing this thing, I'm trying not to point fingers. I'm trying to look at myself, but I think, what do I want? Why do I want it? But I want it this way. I want it this, how we want it, when I want it, who I want to deliver it. You know, sometimes we choose certain companies that deliver faster and better than others. I want this person to deliver it. I know it's not literal deliver, but it can be. We spend a lot of effort on this. But even the world sees it at times. There's movies on this. There's stories on this where it leads to like endless consumption. I mean, we have closets full of stuff. We have storage units of stuff. Let's buy it and let's keep it. Buy it and keep it. Buy it and keep it. We have a lot of waste. I mean, how many times I see it on campus? I mean, there's a big event, really good food, but legally they have to trash it. But it was like there's so much wasted. There's so much thrown away. And it's not, there's just, go look in our garbage. I mean, there's just so much waste. Jesus didn't, remember, he picked up the baskets. He likes leftovers. How did Tim? There's also a ton of financial bondage. How much debt? There's scriptures on debt. Not saying debt's inherently sinful, but it can be a bondage. Okay, so we're dealing with the kingdom of self. Those are just some quick thoughts on the kingdom of self. Let's think about the kingdom of God. Jesus calls us to store up treasures in heaven. We've been thinking about investing a lot lately. I've been trying to learn a lot more about it. We can apparently invest in eternal things. Eternal. His kingdom is eternal. Again, learn about the kingdom of God. There's rewards in the hereafter or when Jesus comes back, whatever comes, that's an eternal thing. So we can go ahead and invest in that now. I'm all about that. Think about the Lord's Prayer. We pray this. We've been praying this with the kids. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can, how do we pray that concerning money? We say, your kingdom come, your will be done right now, right here, in my finances, in my budget, in my pocket money as it is in heaven. I mean, I don't know that we've thought of that. I don't know if I've heard many people talking about that or ever preach this. And I've heard a lot of financial preaching. But it's worth asking. It's worth praying. Like, what if we really did understand our finances and how this is an important tool, especially in our culture, but it's been so for thousands of years. People have exchanged. It's a tool. It represents this money. We already talked about it. It represents your work, represents your efforts, time, energy. And so we want to use this for the kingdom. So I think one thing I want to clarify, though, and this is something that, again, take a takeaway. Ask the Lord about it. But I'm not just talking about giving to the church or giving to missions or tithing. Those are important. Ask the Lord about it. But that's just like even a piece of it. Our lives are supposed to reflect the kingdom. We're new creations. We're new citizens of the kingdom of God. We've been adopted into his family. So that's where it's like we're royalty because he's our king. Jesus is our king. So if that's the case, we need to live out the kingdom, but we can do it here. But so how else can we invest in the kingdom here? And this is where, take it back to the Lord and go, okay, Father, what do you want me to do here? Maybe how you show hospitality, the gifts you give on birthdays to people, like, yeah, it's expected, but like, what if you actually maybe pray about it or give something and pray that it'll be a blessing to them? Or if you do feel like you need to give to, you know, a displaced or homeless person, pray. Like, ask, say, God, intentionally bring the Lord into your transactions. I'm not necessarily going to tell you to do this when you're buying toothpaste, but maybe the Lord knows you need to buy this brand because there's something in it that will help your teeth or your kids' teeth. It's not something to get locked in and locked down and just, you know, stuck in your brain and stuck in your heart. But it's like, hey, okay, Father, maybe lead me this. Maybe I need to eat better. Maybe food is I'm stuck on food somewhere. You know, so this can obviously go to other parts of our lives. But a lot of us don't think of it as tied to money that much. Just today, I guess, in a big way, it's really just, I was praying that the Holy Spirit would sensitize us at our core, sensitize us in our hearts, which also impacts our minds, so we can wrestle with these things, so we can start to think about that submission of our desires, our cares, our concerns, and money impacts that in a big way, especially in our culture where we are today. So as you think of that, I told you a little bit about the earlier part of my background when I was younger. And our experience shapes our thoughts concerning money. And you know, we've heard even Pastor Mario, he was very affluent apparently when he was a kid. I'm kidding, you just need to listen. Listen to him preach. But I had plenty, but I complained. But a season came, where my parents chose to, not just I complain, by the way, I have a brother and sister, okay? They complain too. Just bring them into it. But a season came where my parents, and they knew the Lord, they actually came to the Lord before I was born. I'm very thankful for. But they came to a point where they were like, no, we're going to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. And my dad, he was an accountant with a large corporation, and he chose to do what was right and disobey his manager, who wanted him to lie and fudge numbers. He said, no, I'm not doing that. So he lost his job for doing what was right. And then, no, he did not. It was not a Joseph thing where he then God put him over the company. No, he just lost it. And so began this adventure of seeing vehicles repossessed. You know, I got home from school, got off the bus, and all of a sudden we had several vehicles in a boat. Almost all were gone. We lost the house. We left that little town of North Georgia. As a matter of fact, the only vehicle they owned outright became our home for a short time. It was a family of five, remember. It was a 1981 Dodge Crew Cab, half-ton pickup truck. And that's very much how it looked. That's not the actual picture, because we also had this dome thing on the back, you know, one of those toppers that you see on these pickups. We named this thing Gang Green, because it could hold a gang of people, and it was sickeningly green. Very fitting. We found cheap food. We never went hungry. But also, I don't know if I could eat wheat back then. I did, because we found this. This was a while back, right? This is early 90s. We found this store that had, like, clearance food, among other things. And it wasn't, like, bad. It was just kind of clearance. And so there's a ton of Little Debbies that were dirt cheap. So there were a couple dinners, and in the kitchen, we had a few boxes of Little Debbie's. So it's like, you're hungry? You want to eat? Little Debbie. I don't suggest it. I'm not saying we actually liked it. I dislike those now. It's probably mental. I won't say hate, but I kind of despise them. We also found this bread store. It was not far away. They would have these garbage bags full of bread that was, like, out of date. So it's not moldy, but it was out of date. And it was stuffed with, like, all these, like, loaves of bread and hot dog buns and all the, and Wonder Bread. But a sign on it, and the sign said, it was dirt cheap, too. This thing was, like, $3 or something for this whole bag of bread. And it said, for animal feed only. Guess who was an animal? Lots of bread. Lots of bread in my poor days. Super poor. Super poor for our culture. For our culture, we were poor. Our nation. But the Lord brought us to Tallahassee, this area. We had some family here. My dad got a job with a public accounting firm. We moved into a single-wide trailer. I felt like I was trailer trash. If that tells you anything, that probably means I had a snobby attitude. I was humbled. I was bummed. I was embarrassed. We went from upper middle class, and actually, only in hindsight, we were probably even doing a lot better than a lot of people in that county in North Georgia. Only in hindsight, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I probably look kind of rich compared to some of my friends. I didn't know. But the Lord brought me to this farm country life. It was over in Gadsden County. And it was a great place for me to complain real hard to the Lord, to question God. So since my parents had come to the Lord, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm thankful for that. It did help me, direct me to accept the Lord later in life. I won't say I was a Christian early on. Not at all. It was probably around this time I finally came to the Lord, like in a real way. But I question his purposes. I question his purposes for my life. I question his promises. I questioned and wanted to rebel a lot. But I understood God was there, so I didn't want to rebel too much because I was a little afraid. But again, he could work on this snobby, stinky, bad attitude. And he did. Out in the country. This trailer trash. That's a bad... Don't use that phrase, but I felt like that. So I know what it's like to have had plenty And then I knew what it was like, again, to have little and to feel like you have little. And again, I'm very aware of there's other people in this world that are not, that have a lot less. But and my parents, I mean, I question, my parents had good financial sense as a whole, especially when they started following Jesus. My dad, he was an accountant. He ended up being a controller for several small to medium-sized companies, a controller, a CFO in some of these companies, so he understood finances. They knew budgeting. I saw them. God changed their life, and even though we were, again, we never got back to that type of prosperity or that place. My parents never reached even where we were before. But I saw them grow in the Lord, and I saw them give generously to church. I saw them give generously to people. I saw that God changed their hearts and even money, and they were a good example of living, following Jesus with money, with their finances, and in their life. But again, life happens. The world is broken. Until the kingdom of God is fully established again, or is really just fully established, we could almost say again, it's going to continue to be broken for a while. But God brings that healing. Jesus brings healing and wholeness. And he brings peace, and he's with us. As the song just said, he's the fourth man in the fire. I had asked the kids, do they know what that meant? And some of them didn't. But one of them piped up and said, oh, yeah, like Daniel's friends in the fire. They got thrown into the furnace. God didn't keep them from the furnace. God let them, allowed them to get thrown into it for doing what was right. But Jesus, I believe Jesus was there. I don't remember what the scripture actually says about it. An angel, who cared? It doesn't matter. God was there. There was a fourth person who was with them. He's with us. I saw them invest. Even though they didn't invest, they had dreams for more. They had dreams for a lot more they wanted to do. That didn't happen. But I saw them invest, even in their more humble place, with what they had. They invested in many thousands of people's lives, and I know they impacted a lot of people. So they invested eternally. They invested in the kingdom. I was tested. I grew through those things. I learned that I could be enslaved to money with a lot. I also learned I could be enslaved to money when I didn't have it. I could be greedy. You can be greedy with a lot of money. You can be greedy when you're dirt poor. It honestly don't matter. Don't. The real promise of God is that he will be with us through it all. He does know our needs. He will provide. I can trust that. He will guide us. He will help us. We just need to ask him. I've experienced his benefits, even in my life, going through that growing up. I've experienced this selfish kingdom, and I've been adopted into a selfless kingdom, God's kingdom, and now it's my kingdom because I'm in his family. So there's been a mind shift in myself, in my life. I've seen his faithfulness. I'm not going to say, I did this and this happened, I did this and this happened. Mm-mm, not, God's not a slot machine. I've gotten to know him, and he's led me more. So I just want to encourage you to understand that with every choice we make, we have choices, we have decisions, we speak words with our actions, with our spending, with our giving. We live out, it shows our deep heart allegiance to what kingdom we serve or what kingdom we're going to choose to serve. Some of it is, sometimes it's conscious. I'm consciously going to choose this. Sometimes it's unconscious, and that just shows what's here. But that can be changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus makes a way where his power can change us. So I'm going to challenge you as you, again, As you leave, just keep giving it to the Lord. Ask him to establish his kingdom in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and in your money, your spending, your job, how you serve in your job. I do have a lot more contentment and peace, even when we've been through difficult things. Like, I'm tasting that. I'm tasting that goodness of God. There are rewards now. It's not just for the later. And I argued that a lot with the Lord. Like, I don't want to invest in the later if I need it now. There are rewards now. It just might not be what you think it is. I would like to ask my wife to come up, Lavella to come up, and pray with us real quick. Because obviously I bounce a lot off my wife. She's obviously more brilliant than I. So I like to get her 2 cents. And I was like, yeah. She should pray.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for rescuing us from the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of the Son that you love. And this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So we ask, Lord, humbly that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand what you would have us to do, God, in our lives, in our finances, in our resources that you've given us. We are only stewards of all that you've given us, and our decisions should reflect the gratefulness that we have for all that you've done for us. God, we just pray that you would lead and guide us because your ways are higher, your ways are better than ours. God, I especially pray for our marriages, God, for husbands and wives to be united in their finances and the resources that you've given them, that Jesus would be glorified in the decisions that they make, that there would be unity in their home, that they would submit themselves one to another as unto the Lord. Lord, help us. We need that too, God. We need to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, that this kingdom is ruled by a lowly and a humble king. And we just pray that you'll help us to do that, to humbly walk out what you would have us to do in our lives. God, we love you and we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. When I first met you, I believe you were at the mobile home, but I remember seeing your truck filled with stuff, and I think you were, maybe that was a transition time, but Daniel has always been a man who is a man I know, a man of faith and loves the Lord, and I was around when you were going through those rough times. You were in college during that time. Perfect. Yeah, so I remember when we would have events, his parents, you didn't have a car. They would drive you to our house or an event, and then they lived in Havana, and they'd go home, and then they'd have to come back and pick you up. Something you would normally see maybe a middle schooler or a young high schooler, but Daniel, we never knew that. I never put two and two together, and I believe because the Lord was living in your life, and you were just doing the best you can to have the joy of the Lord in your circumstances. Yeah. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this word. I pray, God, that you would infuse it in our hearts, what the Spirit is trying to tell us and is telling us. Thank you for Daniel and Lavella for walking in obedience. And Lord, thank you for them just living the life here in our Mosaic family. We are blessed because of them. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.